Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, are you stressed out and are negative feelings getting you down? You're not alone. My next guest informs that 75% of women in the U.S. suffer from chronic stress. And equally startling, 89% of stay-at-home moms and 92% of you working moms feel overwhelmed by a combination of family, career, and parental responsibilities. And a most disturbing statistic, but let me add that a lot of us men are stressed out and feel overwhelmed as well. It's not just you ladies. Do negative thoughts and feelings often pop up in your head? Do you feel like they're getting in the way of your happiness and success? What if instead of viewing your negative feelings as hindrances, something to get rid of, you could actually understand them as potential strengths? Well, my guest, psychotherapist and life coach Michelle Bursell, is here to tell you why this approach makes sense. And she explains that, in fact, negative feelings are gifts and can become our greatest allies. And she's here to explain why. And why we should try to understand our negative feelings from a perspective of love and how these negative feelings can actually help us move forward to new heights. And Michelle Bursell is an experienced psychotherapist and life coach. But in 2005, she had an emotional and spiritual breakdown, realizing that she herself at times felt sad, anxious, jealous, and guilty, the very emotion she was counseling clients to overcome. And she had a most unusual revelation and began waking up every morning at 4:30 a.m. With instructions to write. And that she did. She wrote down her thoughts and developed her empowered emotional approach that she now teaches all over the globe. She's an author, speaker, and workshop leader. And her latest book is called Feel, F-E-E-L, which is Feel Every Emotion as Love. And hello, Michelle. A hearty welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Oh, thank you so much, Roy. I'm so thrilled to be a part of the show. I love the title and of this show because middle age absolutely can be your best age, and I'm thrilled to share with your listeners how to do that when it comes to their emotional well-being.
Well, let's start with the basics. How does your feel approach to negative emotions differ from the approach most of us take, which you call the Stone Age approach?
I sure do. And myself included, I was in that emotional Stone Age. And the reason why I came up with that that phrase of emotional Stone Age is because what I realized I was doing was that every time a negative emotion I felt a negative emotion. It was like there was this big stone put on my path of life, my happy path of life. All of a sudden, this stone came down, and I was either trying to ignore it, run away from it, try to find a way to jump over it, you name it. I was doing all these tricks and things to basically get rid of the negative feeling.
Yeah, and in fact, saying it doesn't have any positive purpose at all, so just get it out of the way.
Right. What purpose could this negative feeling have except to trip me up on my path, right?
Yeah.
And so I became very good at learning all the techniques about how to, get around these negative feelings. But I had that moment where it was that emotional, spiritual breakdown where I really had to look at myself in the eyes and say, you know what, Michelle, you're really good at learning how to get rid of these feelings, but if you're going to be honest with yourself, they keep coming back, and you're spending, and it's like
power of positive thinking sounds great, but or the law of attraction, all that sounds great, but these feelings seem to keep popping up now and again. They don't seem like permanent solutions.
Exactly. Yeah. And when I looked at myself in the eyes and really admitted that, you know, what I was doing, it was a Band-Aid. It worked in the short term. But in the long term, I could tell I was wasting a lot of energy just always trying to dance around these feelings and trying to get back to being positive. And when I had that breakdown moment, which was basically, you know, the big old ugly cry with tears and snot running down my face, you know, because what I said to myself is, I'm not doing this work anymore. I felt like a fraud. You know, I didn't have any business helping people, because even though this was short-term solutions, what about us in our long term? And how could we really feel more at peace and honoring who we are? So I basically freaked out, because I spent so much of my life and time, energy, and money trying to understand our emotions, either through traditional psychotherapy or other holistic modalities, other spiritual modalities. And, you know, I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to do this anymore. And that is exactly when I started waking up at 4:30 in the morning, which was it happened for 9 months straight. Every morning, there was no alarm clock. It was just this voice, you know, the same voice that tells you to call your mom if you haven't called her, or check your door if you forgot to lock your door. It was the same voice saying, get up and write. And
interestingly enough, it was 9 months, but it wasn't a baby that came to me. It was your writings.
Exactly. That's what I say. That was my fourth. I have three kids, so I was like, that was my fourth thing that I have given birth to. Exactly. Yeah. It was a 9 month process.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize I was writing a book, but what was coming forward was this insight that was sharing with me personally. First, it was very personal about, like, the way I was looking at my anxiety, my depression and sadness, my jealousy, my guilt.
Yeah.
And what was coming through, I knew wasn't from me, it wasn't from any of the trainings or the studies that I've done, because it took a whole different take on our emotions. I remember one morning writing how anxiety is there to make us, to give us more inner peace. And I was like, what? And so that's when I really realized that how we have been taught to look at our negative feelings is completely fear-based, whether that's in traditional psychotherapy, psychiatry, and just our day-to-day, you know, even as parents, you know, it's like we can be on this path of we don't like this, how do we get rid of it?
Yeah.
And what I came to realize through those wee hours of the morning was that rather than look at these negative emotions that are as stones that are on our path, that they are stones on our path, but it's like they're navigational tools. So if you can think of the stones that have a symbol on them guiding you, you know, turn left so you don't go right and fall off a cliff, that's really how they're meant to be used for us. They're here to empower us, to guide us, to make our path easier. And as a very emotional person, this was the most amazing news, because rather than spend my life force energy trying to get rid of these all the time, I could learn to receive the empowered message. And each negative feeling has a different empowered message where it's helping us to get back on our path. And that's what I'm trying to share with others now, because as you shared in the beginning, the statistics are pretty alarming. We're struggling a lot with our emotions, and you're right, it's men too. You know, chronic stress is an issue. And what's
75% figure really shocked me.
Yes.
I know a lot of women, and most of them don't seem all that stressed out. Maybe they're hiding it well.
Well, and that's it, right? Because, I mean, that's what we're finding. When we have 9 out of 10 moms who are really feeling overwhelmed, I think we've gotten really good at hiding. And in one hand, we're coming from a place of, you know, I want to be grateful for the life that I have. And so we want to have a positive spin.
Yeah.
But the thing is if we don't get to what we're really feeling inside, there's an undertone of where we're not happy. And what I want to share with people is, as soon as we get to that undertone that's where we feel sad or anxious or angry or whatever it is, when we get to it, and know that it's there to serve us, we can use it to empower our lives, to make our lives even better, especially if you're a middle-aged person, because this is a time for you to reclaim your life back. You know, there
Amen.
Yeah, because there's so many years you've been giving and giving, and middle age really is a time where I see a ton of clients, because their emotions are coming up exactly to support them to make changes in their life that are positive, life-affirming, and basically telling them, you can't keep doing what you've been doing. It's going to cause you physical harm, more emotional imbalance, you know, and it really is time to make these changes now, so that when your later years really become the golden years.
Yeah, we often say you need to become CEO of you. You can't just let the circumstances and the obligations and everything else rule your life, or that's what creates so much of that stress. But, you know, in terms of understanding this fear versus love approach to negative emotions, tell us a little about the distinction between our essence and our ego, and what role does each play. I know the ego keeps throwing up the fear, and they want to protect us from emotional hurt. Well, tell us a little about the essence and the ego.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you bring this up. So there's different terms that we can use, and it really depends on what people are comfortable with. But basically, what I want us to take the concept of is that we all have a fearful self, and we all have an empowered self, a wise self.
Yeah.
And what our emotions are actually guiding us to do is learn how to tune into more of our wise self, our empowered self. And how I really look at within our psyche, there is a protective part of us that tries to keep us safe.
Yeah.
And
often
I call that what's that?
I said it's often misguided, but I guess it's trying.
That's right. It is misguided, but when we give that part of us appreciation, it can let go. Because, you know, it really, our egos are our false self, and we develop this because when we were young, all of us didn't get our needs completely met. And so... And it's, you know, it's no one's fault. I mean, it really just is part of our human experience.
And we were also told all the limitations we had directly or indirectly by parents or teachers or whatever that says you can't do that. And the ego remembers all that in the subconscious, I guess. And
you got it. Exactly. It does. And the reason why it does is because it's trying to keep you safe so you don't have to fear, you don't have to experience that rejection again.
Yeah.
You don't have experience what it's like not to have those needs met. So what the ego sets us up to do is say, you know, that you're better off without having these needs. Because if you have these needs, you might face rejection.
Yeah.
But our wise self knows better. Our wise self is always guiding us to experience the most out of life.
Yeah.
And our wise self knows that if we have a desire, then it's meant to be fulfilled by us, and we are capable of fulfilling it.
Yeah.
Like I always tell people, I have no desire on earth to ever run a marathon. I really don't. And I think it's for good reason, because I really don't think I could do it. Now, sure, if it was like if my heart was telling me to run a marathon, I do believe I could do it. I would somehow make it through.
You could train yourself for like 6 months or a year and probably
sure,
most of us
right?
could do that. I don't know why anyone wanted to run 26 miles, but...
Right, but some people do and some people don't. And what I want our listeners to know is that if you have a desire, whether it's for more love in your life or, you know, more passive income, whatever it is, that desire is coming to you because you are capable of creating that in your life. And your emotions are going to guide you about how to do that. And in order for us to get there, we have to realize, we have to start with, as you said, Roy, being able to tell the difference between the ego and our essence. So the ego is the part of us. That's our fearful voice. That's the small self. That's the self that keeps us really contracted in worry and self-doubt. And our essence is the essence of our truth, of our inner wisdom, of being the best that version of ourselves that we are capable of being.
If we can get to the root cause of why we're fearful and get into that ego and understand it, then that goes such a long way to overcoming the fear. If you know that what you probably think you're afraid of is not really what you fear, but it's that fear of rejection or whatever way down there in the ego, and the knowledge is really helps you move forward, I think, in overcoming the objections.
You got it. Because here's the thing: if people are feeling drained, overwhelmed, tired, a lot of what can be going on internally is that we're actually trying to fight off those negative feelings, and we actually leak our life force energy out and trying to fight off who we really are.
Good point.
Yes, and it's so important because, you know, we want that life force energy because that when we know how to work with our emotions in an empowered way, they're guiding us on how to step into our desire rather than say, oh, no, that can't happen for me. It really is there. Your heart, your vision is there to guide you along with your emotions in an empowered way on how to create
it can't happen for me, you want to know whether it's really you're just saying it can't happen for me because of fear and doubt, or whether you truly, your essence, doesn't think you're fit to do that, and you really don't want to run a marathon, for instance, rather than you're just afraid of running a marathon.
Right. Well, again, you'll feel it as a true desire. In me, there is no desire whatsoever to run a marathon. And so I trust that, right? But, you know, for most of us, when we have a desire, it's something that lingers. It keeps coming up.
That's a good point.
We'll watch a TV show, we'll hear a song on the radio, we'll see, you know, just people interacting, and it will remind us of something. Really trust that is guiding you as to how to really make middle age your best age.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the four-step feel process. What are the four steps that we should take to feel every emotion as love? I know you laid out a four-step process on your website.
That's right. Yes. So, first of all, you want to identify what you're feeling. You know, for people that are more emotionally sensitive, they'll be like, "Oh, I'm feeling three different things right now," and they'll be able to know exactly what they're feeling. For people who don't feel as connected to their emotions, I also ask them a question to help them get to what they're feeling, and that is to ask yourself, "What is it that you want in your life that you haven't been able to create?"
That's interesting.
And if you ask yourself that question, you're going to have a feeling around it, and then ask yourself what feeling comes up around that.
And I know you say to write down your emotion, where your emotions are coming from, too. It always helps to write things down, doesn't it?
It always does. That's right. So it's a great point. With this exercise, as I give you the steps, please write them down, and I'll explain in more detail why that is. The writing is another sensory form that helps us really bring awareness and consciousness to what is really going on inside. And the more awareness we have, the greater power we have to change our life.
So then what's the next step after you ID how you feel?
Yeah, so ID how you feel, and if you are a person that has multiple feelings, pick the strongest feeling. What's the one that's coming up the most?
Yeah.
And then the second step is to write down all the negative, nasty, mean things that might be coming up with that negative feeling.
Yeah.
So if you feel sad,
that's the ego at work.
That's the ego at work, exactly. So step number two is write down what your ego or your fear voice is saying about that feeling.
Yeah, I like the way you say write them down so that they get boring.
That's it, Roy. Exactly.
You get so used to them that, there's that old ego speaking again.
Well, that's it. And here's the thing. When we keep them in our head, I've worked with a lot of people who want to stay positive. They're like, Michelle, I can't do this step. And I tell them, listen, these things are still in your body. You're still experiencing them, whether you're pushing them down or you're bringing them up. If we bring them up, and especially if we bring them up and write them down, now you're going to start seeing the tapes, the exact tapes your ego uses to control you, control you to stay small, safe, quote unquote safe, because it's safety in the short term, but in the long term, it never gets you what you want.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you're right, Roy, they become boring because you're like, oh, I'm going to listen to that tape again. I've already listened to that. I don't want to listen to that anymore. I've done that for 50 years.
So then what's the third step that you move on to after you've
Third step is to write down what does your essence or inner wisdom have to say about this emotion. And so here's the thing. Some people are going to feel more connected to their inner wisdom than others. And it is about building this relationship with yourself, with this wise part of you. But here's the thing. When you do this exercise and your ego, your fear feels listened to, it opens up this gap where you can actually hear your truth. And our job is to try to make that gap longer, because at first it might be 10 seconds and then it might be 20 seconds, and we want to keep lengthening that so we can really hear what our inner wisdom is trying to tell us.
Yeah.
And then step number four is to take action, commit to taking action on anything
that's so crucial.
So crucial. And anything that comes up that's coming from your inner wisdom. And the reason is because if we, our negative feeling is going to feel listened to if we get our inner wisdom voice coming through. But it's not, the negative feeling will totally dissipate once you take action, because that's the reason why the negative feeling is there to begin with.
That's
it's exactly right.
Once you do something and say, ha, fear, I'm overcoming you because I'm going to get started on this tomorrow, and then you actually do, the fear does tend to subside pretty quickly, I think, once you do that.
That's right. Absolutely. And what I say is, for people in step number three, where you're writing out your inner wisdom, what is my inner wisdom saying about this feeling? If you struggle with that piece, then that's where I would guide you to buy my book, because in there I'm giving you, I have a glossary of over 60 emotions where I'm helping you understand, here's the empowered message that's trying to come through.
Yeah.
So that's going to help you build up your connection with your inner wisdom if you don't feel that connected, especially when a negative feeling is coming. So it's a good way to feel supported if you struggle with that step number three.
Well, on your website, you give an excellent example that really put it more into focus for me, what you were talking about. Tell us a little about the woman that quit her corporate job and started up a business and wasn't doing all that well, and then listened to her essence and came up with a great idea. I love that story.
Well, why don't you share it? Because I think it'll be great for the listeners to hear it from you, and then I'll fill in any gaps that come up.
Yeah, she tells about a lady that quit her job and was she doing consulting work? Or I forget exactly
what
her work was, but her income and her the net earnings weren't what she expected they'd be, and she was kind of worried or started having all those negative feelings about whether the business would make it or not. But then she followed Michelle's advice and started thinking what the true message might be. The fact, what was the block to the type of earnings and income that she needed? And instead of abandoning the project or just ignoring that block, she got to thinking and it came to her mind that what's really needed is a book. And then she wrote the book, which basically defined to her and to others exactly what the purpose of her business was, and it took off from there. And she had a very satisfactory income stream after that book was written. And I think that's a great story or an example of how an idea can come to you once you move beyond fear and start thinking of alternatives.
That's right. Yeah, and I love that story, too. I'm glad it resonates for you. It really is a story of to stop fighting ourselves and our lives, and that's really what's under my message of feel every emotion is love, because I lived for a long time feeling my negative feelings and fear. It tightens us up, and the more tightened we become, we can't take in the guidance, the empowerment, that we're meant to, because we're fighting. We're always fighting something off, and that story is one where she's like, okay, I'm trusting that there's a meaning to why my income isn't where it's supposed to be. What am I supposed to do in this moment?
Yeah.
And by working through her fear and her anxiety, the empowered version of anxiety is always guiding us to trust. There was a part of her that was being told to write a book. She's like, oh, I don't have time. I really got to build my business.
Yeah.
But it was because she had that trust that she stepped into writing the book, and everything changed from there.
Yeah, I know. I never would have been able to do what I'm doing now if I hadn't written my two books, because that's a great way to focus your attention on just what you're trying, the message you're trying to get across, and it makes a world of difference, and I'm sure it did for her. But is your feel process easy to adopt and implement? Can we expect a sudden aha moment when it all becomes clear, or does it take a lot of time and attention and effort to really get to where you're loving your negative feelings?
You know, here's what I'll say. You can do the process, and especially if you feel more connected to your inner wisdom, you will get an aha in that moment. Now, does it take practice to remember that if you're feeling down and depressed or anxious, that this is actually a good thing? Yeah, that takes practice. And even for myself, quite honestly, there will be moments where I get it instantaneously where I'm like, oh, okay, you know, the sadness is here for a reason, and I instantly get the reason. But sometimes it's not instant, but it is.
Yeah.
But I do hold a truth now, because I've gone through it so many times, that in my sadness there will be more truth that I'm meant to understand and integrate into who I am, and that this really is a gift. And I swear that the less we fight who we are, what we're feeling, what we're going through, that we get to that other side where we feel good and fulfilled again much more quickly.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, let's talk about your latest book, Feel Every Emotion is Love. How is the book organized, and what does that contain? What's the primary message you want readers to take away? I guess it would be what we're just talking about.
It is. It's really going more in depth about what we've been talking about. And I also go through what I call the big five emotions, where I see people struggle a lot, where I struggled a lot, which is sadness, anxiety, anger, frustration, and guilt. And those are the big five. When we understand those five core emotions, you can on the fly apply this process and really get what it's about and turn things around in that moment. And then I said, like I said, there's a glossary with over 60 emotions where I get into emotions like overwhelm and jealousy and what to do in those situations. So it's just an empowering book to guide you to feel your best.
It would certainly I'd certainly be interested in reading that to expand on what we've been talking about. You fill in so much of the details, and it makes a lot of sense. I notice your website is loaded with resources, and a lot of them are free. Give us your website address, because I find that a very valuable website.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so it's michellebursell.com, and I'll spell that for everyone. It's M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E. B as in boy, ERSELL.com. And like you said, I have a free kit that goes into more detail as well, gives examples, which can be really helpful. I've got a checklist that's a part of that free kit that helps you make the changes that you're looking to make to help you define if you're still in the emotional stone age or in an empowered place with your feelings. So it's a great way to kind of check off where you're at with your process.
Well, I noticed this, we're recording, this is debuting on the internet on June 15th, and I noticed you have a workshop for women on June 18th. Tell us a little about that. It sounds very fascinating to deal with the stress and that so many women feel.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm constantly doing workshops, talks to help people, and especially women, because women are having these statistics that really are screaming out that they're struggling. And a lot of what I'm sharing with people is how to let go of what I call the misery epidemic, and that there's this, while we're happy in some ways, we've got an undertone of misery, and how to address that so that we really feel good, not just that good on the outside of what we're showing to friends and family, but good on the inside as well.
Yeah, and to find out more about that, they should go to your website then, I guess.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time, even though I've renewed my life, and I still battle against fear and negative emotions like so many of us do. And my ego, trained perhaps in childhood, keeps telling me why I can't succeed at this or that. We all have that problem, or most of us, implanting doubt in my consciousness. And Michelle has opened my eyes, and I bet yours, to the possibility that they may come, the negative thoughts you have may be coming from your essence, not just your ego, and it may be sending a message that can actually guide you to a better long-term outcome, like that lady that instead of struggling on day-to-day with her business, wrote a book, and it turned everything around. I love that story. And I'll begin to treat my negative feelings with greater respect. I'll maybe even learn to love them, like Michelle suggests I do. And thank you so much, Michelle Bursell, for your inspiring message.
My pleasure, Roy. Thank you so much for sharing this message with your audience.
And I highly recommend her website, www.michellebursell.com. And thanks so much, Michelle, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
From time to time, each one of us is confronted by conflicting emotions of enjoying life to the fullest and of contributing time, money, and energy in service to others. Must we experience an emotional tug of war between healthy pursuit of self-interest and selfless dedication to others? Well, I say that you can have both. And as an essential component of midlife renewal, I recommend adoption of a self-pleasing service mentality, as I call it. By definition, this mindset permits you to satisfy personal aspirations, in effect, I am first, while at the same time dedicating energy and resources to God and to the common good, or in other words, I am third. I'm so confident of success through this dual objective that I offer the following promise. As a confident, well-rounded woman or man, you will consistently anticipate a favorable personal outcome, but will also be more than willing to sacrifice self-interest in service to those around you. Sustainable midlife transformation does not occur in a self-absorbed vacuum. No one can positively transform life simply by affirming and servicing personal needs while they ignore the aspirations and well-being of everyone else. And by your very nature, once you accomplish genuine success in life, you will become attuned to the needs of others. Without conscious effort, you will begin to adopt a win-win mentality. Ask yourself, how in the world will it subtract from my personal satisfaction and my joy in living if those around me also were joyful and prosperous? On the other hand, if everyone around you is not joyful and prosperous, it's very tough to maintain that positive attitude yourself, isn't it? Is there any reason why you can't experience life to the fullest while at the same time encouraging others to do the same? You know, once we regain our sense of purpose, we naturally want family, friends, and anyone else within our sphere of influence to share in our adventure and our joy for living. Because we feel great now, we have a burning desire to spread our message of hope and goodwill to those around us. And I guarantee this, no matter how hectic your revitalized lives become, you will find time and energy to serve and counsel others. Without question, you will have the energy to burn. There is no ethical contradiction in the positive, purposeful exercise of daily living. We accomplish favorable life balance only when we are able to combine genuine appreciation of self with unselfish service to others. In order to respect and serve others, we first must feel good about ourselves. If I don't respect me, it's highly unlikely I'll carry a chip on my shoulder the size of Texas, and I will probably resent others who appear to prosper while I cannot. But once we do feel positive about ourselves, we will begin to care deeply about those around us. By our very nature, we will have desire to spread positive emotions to others. And we will not sustain a positive mental outlook without personal sacrifice. Whatever our good fortune, our temporary euphoria will not last unless we move beyond self-absorbed interest and begin to dedicate time, money, and energy in service to others. And we can never sublimate completely our desire for personal recognition, and we should not try. There's nothing wrong with accepting public thanks and recognition for a job well done. Well, once renewed in mind and spirit, I suggest you sustain life balance through a concept that I like to label enjoyable servanthood. This concept combines service to God and others with a deep and abiding appreciation and enjoyment of self. Everyone listening has his or her own unique blend of talents and preferences. The secret to combining personal satisfaction with exceptional service to others is to volunteer for activities which you thoroughly enjoy and are uniquely qualified to excel at. By so doing, you will tap into your very own talent bank to serve others as only you can. If you enjoy cooking, offer to prepare meals at your church or a local homeless shelter. If you relish business planning and execution, offer to counsel disadvantaged or minority entrepreneurs. If bass fishing is your passion, take an underprivileged children or an underprivileged child along with you to the lake. In contrast, steer clear of volunteer assignments you would struggle to accomplish. You need not feel guilty turning down any project where you cannot add significant value. If you fear public speaking, do not commit to serve as master of ceremonies at your annual club benefit. And if, like me, you have two left thumbs, you might skip the volunteering for Habitat for Humanity. It's a wonderful cause, but if you can't drive a nail very well, it doesn't make much sense to volunteer for it. It's more than okay to accept recognition, by the way, for dedicated service to the common good, and there's no reason to shun well-deserved public acknowledgement if it makes you feel special. In your own small way, you've helped to change our world. On the other hand, don't attempt to hog the spotlight. Most of us feel especially proud when we accomplish something important as part of a team. And without exception, the world's most successful business, government, and athletic team leaders publicly acknowledge teammates who contributed to success. And here's one other challenge. Once you and I bring our lives into positive emotional balance, we still must confront the perplexing issue of personal resource allocation. It may appear that there simply are not enough hours in the day to earn a living, pursue our hobbies, refresh our spirit, exercise the body, dedicate time, energy, and attention to kids. And each one of us has needs to balance. We need to balance our charitable giving with personal and family consumption, investment, and savings. As a practical guide to personal resource allocation, I always like to recommend this worthwhile motto, enjoy and employ. The first word reminds us to enjoy what we have. Once we achieve a level of financial security, there is no harm in kicking back and enjoying life. And don't postpone appreciation of life's pleasures, taking that vacation, buying that new car you've always wanted. Don't put off doing that until tomorrow if you can afford to do it today, because tomorrow may never arrive. There's nothing wrong with material possessions so long as we utilize them judiciously, are genuinely thankful, in no way harm others by anything we do, and always keep the value in proper perspective. The second part of the motto reminds us to employ a portion of personal resources, money, time, energy, and talent in service to others. There's nothing more foolish than undermining midlife renewal through selfish hoarding. A self-absorbed, covetous individual inevitably ends up both miserable and unfulfilled. All of us learn from personal experience that the psychic reward from sharing with others is infinitely greater than the fleeting pleasure of a world full of possessions. Misguided individuals cherish possessions and use people. Genuinely fulfilled men and women cherish people and use possessions. Here's a final piece of advice, and then we'll go. Search your conscience, pray for guidance, consult with others, with friends and loved ones, and then people you really respect, and then allocate resources in the precise manner which your conscience tells you is right. Contribute time, exercise, talent, and financial resources to worthy causes, because personal sacrifice brings you joy, fulfillment, and inspiration, not because you feel you must. And remember, you do not need to hit a home run every time. Each one of us should be on constant lookout for small opportunities to serve. Pay a sincere compliment to a friend, offer encouragement to a child, share warm greetings with a stranger, help an elderly acquaintance fill out a confusing Medicare form, or maybe help them across the street. Over time, it'll become your second nature to tune into the small, immediate needs of those around you. You and I earn our living receiving compensation from others, but we make our lives count by giving ourselves away. And to learn more about the process of personal midlife renewal, and to preview and purchase my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, to receive additional free articles on the subject, to retain me, and I'd love to do this as a personal midlife coach, as your personal midlife coach, or as a motivational speaker at your organization's dinner or your company's annual meeting, please visit our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. I'd love to get to know you better. And tune in next week when we will talk about a remarkable recovery story from midlife addiction. And we'll see you then.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.